Our reading today is from Mark chapter 6. We're back to Mark. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. And if you're using one of the church Bibles, it's on page 1009. Then, because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So we're going to come back to that story later on, but first of all we're going to just remind ourselves of where we are. So last week we started our paraclesis course. And I hope you remember that that word, paraclesis, is a Greek word from the Bible, which means to come alongside someone. In fact, as we saw last week, the word is very rich in its meanings. Because the idea is that you come alongside someone to do something, to help them in some way. So you'll find it translated in many different ways in our Bibles. You may come alongside someone to encourage them, or to care for them, or to journey with them, to walk with them through whatever difficulties they're facing. All different ways of expressing love. But the key idea, as we saw last week, as we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, was that you become aware that someone is in need. You step out of your own comfort zone and come to be with them, and that you see them through to a place of safety. And that kind of loving care is something that should be a core value for any community of Jesus' followers, for our church, because it's both Jesus' command and his own example to us. He came to serve and not to be served, and he commands us to love one another. And in last week's story, we saw that the priest and the Levite, otherwise good, upright, religious people, just didn't have this core value. Because they saw the need of the injured man, but passed by on the other side. They were too busy, too tied up with their own concerns. And it was the Samaritan who stepped out of his comfort zone and actually helped the man, even though he risked rejection in doing so, because he was, after all, a despised Samaritan. So this week, we're looking more deeply at what it means to come alongside other people, using today's story of the feeding of the 5,000. But first, let me remind you of a key verse that runs all the way through this course. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 in the Message translation. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. A verse that gives us the basis and the motivation for everything we're talking about. Because when we were in need, God cared for us and came alongside us to help. And what he tells us to do is just the same thing. To be there for other people going through hard times. To be willing to step out and help. To just show up and be there for someone who is struggling. And we all go through hard times. Life isn't smooth, even for those with the greatest faith. In fact, over the summer, we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. And there we find that even in the hymn book of the Bible, it's not all joy and praise. Quite a lot of them are about anger, or being depressed, or feeling battered down by life. So it's a valid part of our spiritual experience, and not a sign of failing faith. In fact, that verse from 2 Corinthians gives us one way of understanding our own hard times. It encourages us to look at them as a grounding, which will help us come alongside and help other people suffering similar things. Now, the answer given is that God comes alongside us to help. But how does God do that? You know, sometimes it is just between us and God, a kind of spiritual strengthening. But perhaps even more often, it's through him sending us another person to help us. Think of it as love with skin on, you know, wrapped up in another human being. And the message is, okay, God sent someone to help you when you needed it. Now he's sending you to help someone else. And if that sending breaks down, people don't get helped. So it's important. It is a command of God to us. Love one another as I have loved you. So when people are going through hard times, the question is, who cares? Let our answer be, we care. And let this be a core value for us, the very heart of our culture as a church, that we care for one another. Because Jesus said that it's by this that you love one another, that the world will know that we are his disciples. And it doesn't necessarily come naturally. Because look at us here. We're all sat in rows facing the front where all the action is taking place. It's quite possible to spend an hour together in a service and only interact with the back of the person's head in the row in front. It's quite possible for us to be so busy with the things we have to do this morning that we don't have time to spend with people and find out how they really are. Yet sometimes a church can be so taken up with activity and vision, and even with trying to get new people in through the front door, that the actual people already here can slip out of the back door without being noticed. This is a core value, a culture that we probably need to work at. So how can we grow such a culture? First, we can create the opportunity to establish a caring, loving culture. In Galatians 6:10, we're told that as we have opportunity, we should do good for other people. We've already mentioned how difficult it can be if we all just sit here in rows consuming what's provided. But perhaps we can be more deliberate to make opportunities to do better. We can be intentional about making an effort to talk to someone, to interact with them. We can join one of the small groups like Connect Groups, which exist to make that kind of sharing more available. We can get to know other people better, perhaps even outside the church environment. There are many things we can do, but they are opportunities that have to be created or seized rather than just happening. In other words, we need to consider how to come alongside other people and to be intentional about doing so. And we need to continue to come alongside them. It should be a changed culture, not a one-off event just because the preacher said so. So what might coming alongside other people look like in practice? How about the way we think about other people? Are they just problems for us? Or are they real people with needs? Think about needs, not problems. In today's reading, we see that was where the disciples fell short. The needs of the hungry people were just a problem for them, to be solved by sending them away. That was an attitude of theirs that Jesus had to correct. And then we need to recognize our need to both receive and to give love. We've talked about mental health this morning, and we see that our mental health depends so much on our being loved, on being accepted, of having a place where we belong. But it isn't all just about us being loved. We have a need to be fully rounded human beings to give love as well as receive it. It's something that gives us a purpose and takes us out of ourselves. So be a giver and not just a receiver. And think about our greatest relationship, the one we have with God. Yes, we come to church to worship and express our love for him. But where does it start? Where does it all come from? 1 John 4 tells us that we love because he first loved us. We've received love from God, and that is the wellspring of our ability to give love to others. We love as we have been loved by God. And then it expresses what you might call an authentic community. Are we for real? How do we know that we are genuine followers of Jesus? Well, he's given us a test. In fact, he's given this test to the whole world, one they can use when they look at us. From John 13, verse 35. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. So this is something that really does need to be a core value, the heart of our church culture, our ethos. That love, caring, compassion are values that we live by. And even though these things may seem hard and a huge stretch for us, they're not there to crush and condemn us. Instead, think of them as a challenge to reach and to pray towards. After all, it's Jesus who commands it and who shows us the way. And he's on our side. He wants us to be good disciples. And he'll give us the resources we need if we're serious. So let's ask him to make that transformation in us. And so we turn again to our reading and think about the story of the feeding of the 5,000. What does that have to say about what we're talking about? First, it happened because the disciples were busy. They just come back from a hugely successful mission trip. And they'll be given this wonderful opportunity to spend some quality time with Jesus, to come away with him and get some rest. They were doing church in what must have looked like such a wonderful way for them. But then all these people show up. 5,000 men, probably more women and children, a huge crowd, all come to hear Jesus. You might have thought the disciples would have been delighted, you know, more success to their mission. But that's definitely not the impression you get from the story. To them, these people, with all their needs, were just a distraction. They were getting in the way of the disciples' rest, of their time with Jesus. So instead of seeing needs to be cared for, they saw them as a problem to be got rid of. Lord, send them away. That core value of care didn't seem to be part of their culture. You might say they suffered from compassion deficit disorder. That's because real compassion not only notices a need or even feels for it, it also does something about it. In 1 John 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear." But in this story, the disciples noticed the people's needs, but they only felt it as a problem, and they preferred to do nothing. They wanted Jesus to send the people away. But in contrast, in verse 34, we read that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he did something about their need. His culture, his core value was caring and compassion. And he was teaching the disciples to be the same as him. So what did he do? He accepted the people just as they were. And what does he want from us? To accept people just as they are. Because that says to them, you belong, even with all your needs. So compassion accepts and doesn't reject. And then he validated them, which is just a fancy way of saying that he acted in a way to let them know that they were worth his time and his care. He spent time teaching them. People knew they had value to him. And that's something we can do as well. Letting people know that they are worth our attention and the time we spend with them. Not just looking at your watch. And then he reached out to them. He actually did something to meet their needs and managed as well to involve the disciples in doing so. So in the end, perhaps they learned a lesson too. They were the ones he used to feed the people in the end. So compassion. I'm told that its origins are a Greek word that means to feel someone else's pain, to be deeply moved from the inside. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, Paul says that Christ's love compels us. And that word means it moves us, drives us from the inside. Think of it as a kind of gut feeling. And in the Gospels, we do read about Jesus being moved in that kind of way by the situations he came across. When he met the widow in Nain, whose son has died. When he touched the leper or healed the blind man. When he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He was moved with compassion. And because of his compassion, miracles happened. But it's a lesson he wants to teach to his disciples as well, to us. It's a compassion he wants us to share. So you could look at today's story as a kind of learning exercise for the disciples, as well as just meeting the needs of the crowd. Jesus moved towards these people. He saw their need and engaged with them. And he accepted responsibility for others. He didn't just send them away as the disciples wanted. And he didn't give any excuses. The disciples were worried about how much it would cost to feed this crowd. But Jesus just got on with it. And in the end, he got the disciples to put what they had into his hands. Even though it was just a small lunch and seemed too small and inadequate against the size of the needs. And so they learned to draw on his resources, to turn their small offering into something that could be used. And so the people ate and were filled. He reached out to their point of felt need, which was their hunger. And he demonstrated the meaning of love coming alongside, of seeing the need and acting to deal with it. So what can we take away? Whatever our experience, whatever we've got, however large or small, let him take it and use it. And ask him to put his compassion into our hearts and use what we have to come alongside other people, to encourage, to help, to love, to care. And let's pray. Let's ask him that this culture of care and compassion be at the heart of our life together as his disciples here in this place, that the world may know that we are truly his disciples. Amen.